the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes. Why? Well, to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome in today. I'm Joe Galewski. Reach Dr. Mike on the phone at 877-711-5211. UDocs@gmail.com is the email address for your questions or comments. Advice, UDocs@gmail.com, UDocs@gmail.com. We're listened to by affiliates all over the country. We thank you for listening to this show weekly. And now, of course, we're on iHeartRadio Talk. You can listen to your favorite shows and personalities and hear what's going on in the world of health today at Radio MD or You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse. It's called the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk, a special news and update station that you can customize. All right, and go to iHeartRadio.com on the web and download the app or use the web users. Click Talk in the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe. There's some great stories this week. One of the best story, I think, of the week is this one on HDL, or maybe the one on antibiotic coating, but the HDL one, raising HDL, and it having that surprising effect of protecting against cancer. Do you know your HDL level, Joe?
I get it checked twice a year, but I can't offhand remember it. That's the good cholesterol, right?
HDL? HDL is H is for healthy, right? You remember
yes.
It by the first initial. Mm-hmm. Bridget, do you know your HDL level?
No, I have to go get my blood work done.
Okay. So for every 10 milligram per deciliter increase, and this is in a large base database, meta-analysis of all the studies done on statins, for every 10 milligram per deciliter increase, the normal, you want to get it over 50. So if yours is 50, where the average is 40, it's a 30% reduction in cancer rates. A brilliant study showing, in fact, with malignant melanoma, raising your HDL level decreased the ability or decreased the virility of that malignant melanoma, if you will, decreased the spread and decreased your chances of dying from malignant melanoma. Brilliant work by a guy from the Cleveland Clinic, Stan Hazen.
I heard you had the best HDL in the world. Is that right?
I do have a very high HDL. Who told you that? Bridget, did you tell him?
No. I think you may have told. I don't know what it is. You don't have to tell me what it is.
Well, no, I'd be glad to. It's 100.
Yeah, right. It's a triple digits.
Right.
Because
and,
I have
so unusual that my literally, I mean, you very rarely see one over 60. So to get 100 or 110 was totally. So what that means is I got it's very protective against cancer, apparently. And this is the first day I've ever known that. We thought it's the activity, and I'm going to get the activity measured as soon as it's easily done, which should be in 3 or 4 weeks, I've been told. But I'm going to. But now I just know the level, and the level itself appears to augment your immune system. That's what this study was. It augments your immune system surprisingly. Again, they looked at malignant melanoma, so it didn't attack the malignant melanoma itself. It just souped up your immune system, so your immune system did much better at attacking the malignant melanoma. Then they went and looked at all the data, in fact, in people who had this. That is all for anybody who had the blood work done, and they looked over a 10-year period at their cancer risk, and for every 10 milligram per deciliter, in other words, going from 50 to 60, was a 30% lower risk of cancer.
Do you have your lab results hanging on your refrigerator, Dr. Mike?
No.
Because you're so proud.
Well, my personal trainer friend that I know said his HDL was really high. It could be the highest ever. I said, no, yours isn't higher than Dr. Mike's. You told me what it was once, and I don't, you know, I can't remember. It's some years ago. And my personal trainer said, no way. I've got the highest HDL ever. I said, no, you don't. Dr. Mike has better HDL than you do. So that's how I remember that your HDL is pretty good.
Really good.
It is really good. So, but what the trainer did was tell you one of the things that raises it. We know only a few things that increase it, but one of those is physical activity. Another is blocking stress response. A third is a little alcohol every evening. As I told you, half to one drink an evening, one to two for men, half to one for women. And estrogen, that is, if you're a woman, the women get an extra benefit, which is why theirs is higher than men. And maybe one of the secrets to why women in every country live longer than men.
In radio, we look at a general rating number of how many people are listening, but it's always broken down. They say, pay no attention to the general number. Is that the case for cholesterol? You get a general cholesterol level, but you've got HDL, you've got LDL, and you've got triglycerides. Is it more important to pay attention to those three different components more so than the overall cholesterol number
exactly.
that you get?
Exactly. So we used to pay a lot of attention to the total cholesterol before we knew there was healthy. And before we knew that the healthy could vary. So if you look at my total cholesterol, obviously if I have 100 on the HDL, mine it would have to be in a warning range, right? It would have
yes.
to be over 150.
Yeah.
And it is over 150, but most of it is the good cholesterol.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's important to know what those three different numbers are and not so much the general number.
Exactly.
Three squares a day versus smaller meals, Dr. Mike, which is better for healthy weight loss? Three squares
or we ought to have Bridget. There really are two points to come to this before we get it. The two most important points are it's total calories and never skip breakfast. Now, in addition to that, should you have small meals or just three squares, Bridget?
Well, there's no consistent evidence that shows which is better, but there's been this new diet trend. It's called the fast diet, and it's when people eat 5 to 2, where people limit calories a lot on some days, and then they eat whatever they want on 2 days of the week. And the approach is thought to reduce diet fatigue. So they found that when they looked at an obese population who fasted on some days and limited their calories to 500 calories a day, that they ended up losing weight. But what I want to know is, were they able to keep that off? Because I think that a sustainable dietary approach is to eat at least 3 meals a day, if not 6, because studies have shown that it keeps your blood sugar more level, which decreases the fluctuations, which can end up leading to eating whatever you want because you're so fatigued and hungry and famished that you're going to eat anything that's in front of you plus an extra bag of chips.
You're saying 6 meals a day? You're my kind of woman.
Well, 3 meals a day, 3 meals a day, Joe, plus 3 snacks is what
okay.
she's saying.
All right, so
and so she's going to the smaller meals. I think that's also important because it doesn't get you to overeat. Once you learn to overeat at one meal, you stretch your stomach. And stomach fullness is one of the two ways that we control hunger. The other is with hormones, ghrelin, etc. But if your stomach gets full relatively quickly, that is, it only is used to small meals, and it takes 6 weeks of doing this, that is, to get your stomach to shrink down. 6 weeks of eating small meals will shrink your stomach down. Then you'll find it's much easier because you'll only eat small meals because your stomach gets too full. One stretching of the stomach to football size, and you got to eat six weeks of small meals to get it back. So Thanksgiving is not a good thing unless you make Thanksgiving over about 5 hours.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it, too. We had an interesting, coming up on the break, we had an interesting conversation, Bridget and me, about this other health story out this week where some school districts are quitting this healthier lunch program because they seem to be losing money
on it.
I have
a very different take on that.
Well, so do
I. It's all the manufacturer's fault,
yeah, okay.
And I'm going to come back to why. For example, you could get a peanut butter.
We'll take the break, and then you can talk about it. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike Royson on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize a message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And brought to you by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. Should mention our guest at 35 after the hour coming up. It's Melanie Gideon. She's the program manager for Operation Mend. It's a partnership between the UCLA Health System, the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, and the VA Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System. It was established about 6 years ago to help treat military personnel who were severely wounded during service in Iraq and Afghanistan. So it tries to combine the best of the military's resources with the skills of the UCLA Health System and continues to serve as a model for other medical institutions that are interested in helping wounded service members of their families and their family members. We'll talk to Melanie. She's the manager and also a patient in this particular Operation Mend program. That'll be at 35 after the hour. Now then, after just 1 year, some schools around the country are dropping out of the healthier new federal lunch program, complaining that so many kids turned up their noses at meals with whole grains, fruits, and vegetables that the cafeterias were losing money. Reports of schools cutting ties with the $11 billion National School Lunch Program. This is the program that First Lady Michelle Obama was just so anxious to get into these schools, and she thought kids would eat the broccoli and the kale and the other stuff. But apparently some of these kids are rejecting it and throwing the food in the garbage can. And these schools are losing money, they say, so they're opting out of the program. Dr. Mike, what say you about it?
Well, we've had a fair bit of personal experience with it. And so let me give you an example. One of the foods that was made was a sandwich that was available for the school lunch program beforehand, was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on white bread with the crust cut out. So in the program, you could still serve that exact same thing, but use whole wheat bread, that is 100% whole grain, and real peanut butter instead of the fake peanut butter. They had a peanut butter on it that was a little peanut butter, but a lot of emulsifier and a lot of sugar. So the company, instead of coming up with a great tasting whole grain peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just didn't make anything. Well, that's pretty bad on the company's part. And I think the real problem here is that some of the food companies are trying to sell other things. And because they have very low profit margin in the school lunch program, they've always had very low profit margin, they've been unwilling to help with this because they understand that if you get the kids healthier, maybe they aren't going to buy as much outside of school. So I think this is really a corporate America sabotaging the issue problem.
The reimbursement, according to districts, wasn't enough to offset losses from students who began avoiding the lunch and bringing home food from home, or in some cases going hungry. Some lunchrooms ended, some school districts ended $100,000 to $150,000 in the red. Students repeatedly complained about the small portions and fruits and vegetables, for example, apples and pears, that went from the tray to the trash can. Why would they throw an apple and a pear out? That's what I don't get. Why would they throw fruit out?
Well, they got on their cart, and they must have taken or put something on it or cut into it or something. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But in any case, in the poorer school districts, you know, in those school districts where they have inner-city kids, this seems to be working quite well. Now, part of the problem, of course, is that we've gotten used to so many calories. You know, if you're used to eating, when we looked at the Cleveland School District, the average kid got exposed in breakfast and lunch to 3,500 calories. Well, if you're eating 3,500 calories a day and you're in sixth grade, you're going to get fat. So now it's gone down to 1,150 calories. And, of course, the kids are used to bigger portions and junkier food, you know, the tater tots and the, if you will, the lousy peanut butter and the white bread sandwich. And it isn't, so they're, you know, they got to get used to it. The second thing is we went in one of these schools, Vitamix donated the mixers, and we were doing these wonderful morning, if you will, blasters, you know, with fresh fruit, etc. Well, the ladies who staff this weren't trained well enough to know what a raw banana was versus a ripe banana, and so the food didn't taste as good as when we were preparing it in the test period, because they included raw bananas in there. So you've got there is an education process that has to go with the cooks to make it taste better,
which I think also makes the difference between the different schools that have had success with implementing these changes, because although there are some schools that are dropping out of the program, there are plenty of schools that are still doing just fine because they've adopted these changes.
Yeah, 96% are still 96% of the school districts that have started it are with it. There is 1% that have dropped out and 3% that are considering dropping out, Joe. So it's not that it's been a total failure, and I think if we stay with it and keep pushing and push on the manufacturers to cook, to make things that are tasty as well as healthy, this will succeed and will help America greatly. And it is one of the triumphs. You know, if you look at it, childhood obesity plateaued this last year. That's the best news we've had in two decades.
I hope it works. And Mike, you like sports. You watch sports. You go to sporting events. You know, 80% of advertising on athletic and sporting events is about food. It's about food. It's about fast food. It's about wings. McDonald's is bringing out chicken wings for football season, only through football season. It's the fastest growing market sectors of the food industry. Sales of chicken wings topped $8 billion in 2012. The promotion of healthy food versus fast food, it's not on the same playing field. It's not in the same ballpark. There's a difference between night and day. And where people get their message from is corporate America. You're right about that. And my question is, can you force people to eat healthy?
It's awful.
Well, you can't force them, and you don't want to force them. But you can get food that tastes just as good, that is just as inexpensive, but is healthy. And that's really the trick that has to be done. So
it needs to be promoted better because, as I said, marketing, whilst on Madison Avenue, doesn't compare to what how healthy food is promoted through basically news stories on news stations, on news programs, and articles and books written by health experts. I mean, the comparison between how you promote one entity and the other, it's just so far out of whack. It's going to be a tough battle. Not to say give up on it, but it's just very hard to counteract that marketing. The fast food industry creates an immediate need, you know, for someone to say, well, if I eat healthy tailgate food, or if I watch a football game tonight and I have healthy snacks, and by the end of the football season, I'll be healthier. Whereby, you've got a craving now for chicken wings. Go to McDonald's today and buy the wings. You know what I'm saying? They create an immediate need, and that's the effectiveness of their advertising. It's unfair. It's not good. It's not right. But it's a very tough problem that the healthy food industry has to deal with.
You are so right on, Joe. You are exactly right on. And it is a problem, and we need to help the food industry deal with it. But it is, you are absolutely right on.
Well, and the reality of it, though, is that the healthiest foods come from farms. And farmers don't have the same kind of advertising money to promote broccoli and apples and fruits and vegetables in general.
By the way, there's a great story about broccoli and the nutrients in broccoli and in all cruciferous vegetables decreasing osteoarthritis. So a portion of broccoli in this study actually decreases the symptoms of osteoarthritis and apparently decreases osteoarthritis promotion, that is the progression of it, over a short period of time. So it was one of the articles this week in the best medicine that I can see in the medical news, Joe. So if you've got pain in your joints, then don't have the wings, have the broccoli.
There's nothing but good stuff that comes out of eating healthy. It's just got to be a better way to deliver that message and counteract the message that the fast food industry just pounds at us all the time. Guest time coming up. It's Melanie Gideon. She's the Operations Men Program Manager helping out wounded veterans of current wars. That's our guest coming up right after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody, so get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for Kim, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Don't forget Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week coming up for the end of the hour. Melanie Gideon is the program manager for UCLA Operation Mend. It's a partnership between the UCLA Health System, Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, and the VA Greater Los Angeles Healthcare System. The program was started about 6 years ago to help treat military personnel who were wounded, severely wounded during service in Iraq and Afghanistan. It aims to combine the best of the military's resources with the skills of the UCLA Health System and continues to serve as a model for other medical institutions that are interested in helping wounded service members and their family members. Melanie's with us today, plus a patient of the program, Brian Schaefer. Schaefer, I hope I pronounced your name right. Schaefer, thank you, sir. Melanie, let me ask, first of all, there are many services available for wounded veterans of our wars, our recent wars, and probably there should be more. But how does Operation Mend, how did the idea come about, and how is it different from other services offered to our military vets?
Yeah, so what makes Operation Mend unique is that it actually is an official partnership with the military. So many of the nonprofits you hear about all over are actually not partnered with any entity. So we're an official partner, which means that they trust us to help them take care of their service members. So we provide specialty services at UCLA, which UCLA is number 5 in the country for healthcare. So We do specialty, any kind of specialty medical care related to their combat or training injury, as well as reconstructive surgery. You can imagine being in LA, we have some pretty great plastic surgeons for some of the facial injuries and hand injuries that come out of our ward.
Job well done so far. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Brian, if I can talk to you for a few minutes, and then I want to, this is a tremendous program, and for those people who might know someone in, who needs something like this, it is operationmend.ucla.edu. There's no waiting list, and there is no cost. So, Brian, you were in the Air Force in 2002, and had both a deployment in Afghanistan and two in Iraq, and you were about to be redeployed again. Since we're on in Syracuse, New York, you also were stationed at CONUS at Fort Drum. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And then how did you hear about this program, and what happened, if you can tell us?
Yep, certainly. We were doing a pre-deployment training exercise in California. I was stationed in Alaska at the time, but we were down in California for a month getting ready to head overseas again. And we're out in the middle of the desert, and the Humvee that I was riding in ended up flipping over and ejecting me and fracturing C2, T4, T11, and L5 vertebrae. Had a bilateral pneumothorax.
For people who don't know, those are vertebrae involving the spine. So you had, is it five spine fractures?
Four yes, spine. Including a cervical, which is usually often a deadly and very severe one.
Right. So go ahead. I'm sorry you interrupted.
Yep, and had a bilateral pneumothorax, which both of my lungs had collapsed and filled with blood, broke two ribs, cracked my sternum, broke my shoulder, had a skull fracture, and ended up severing a nerve in my eye. Quite a traumatic experience, as you can imagine.
And you survived.
Yeah, much to every doctor's surprise when I have to go and fill out the history form. I usually end up running out of space about listing previous injuries. And so ended up, they were able to stabilize me, did a 16-hour emergency surgery with screws and rods to
Where was that done?
That was in Loma Linda in California.
So you were in California, and so you got that at a local, if you will, it's not real local, to Fort Ord or for, I don't know, where were you at the, you were?
During that training exercise, we were out at Fort Irwin, which the closest city would be, you know, the Barstow area.
Gotcha.
Pretty much out in the middle of nowhere. But yeah, that was the closest trauma center that they could get me to, and then medevaced me down there at the time on a helicopter and put me in the ICU, got me stabilized, got my family out there, not knowing what the end result of all this would be, and did a 16-hour surgery to stabilize everything. Spent a couple of weeks in the hospital in the ICU with chest tubes in, and was finally moved down to a polytrauma center in San Diego, the VA down there in their spinal cord ward. Spent about 5 months in the hospital total as an inpatient. Did another 6 months of outpatient therapy in Detroit at the Detroit Medical Center, which specializes in spinal cord rehab, and was finally medically discharged from the military in August of 2009.
And then how did you get to, and by the way, you're not telling part of the story because you also had been taking a college degree course in between your deployments, and you actually graduated with honors, which we'll come back to. But how did you get to Operation Mend then?
Upon discharge from the hospital and being released back into a normal life, if you will, I still had some issues that I knew were existent, but nobody really wanted to tackle them just because I was such an extreme case. And I just thought that the medical care that I had been receiving was very inadequate for dealing with these situations. And I actually met a gentleman named Bill White, who's a very strong advocate for military veterans and veteran issues, who linked me up with the fine folks out at UCLA. This would have been last December, around Christmas and said, hey, we're going to hook you up with some amazing people that are going to get you fixed and squared away and on the right track to recovery that you should have been years ago. So,
and I should say, this is truly an amazing program with UCLA. So you went to UCLA. Did they bring your family with you?
The first time it was just me out there. We were just doing the assessments, meeting with all the different specialty doctors that would be in my care plan, orthopedics, neurosurgery, TBI doctors, stuff like that, just to assess everything. So I didn't have my family come out, but I ended up needing a last-minute procedure to test out the hardware to see if it was the issue in my back, and it was. And so they ended up flying a good friend of mine out just to be there with me during the procedure to make sure everything went well.
So one of the things that this program does, in addition to trying to take care of your medical things, is taking care of, if you will, the family and give you support while you're there, family support while you're there as well, which is truly an amazing part of the program in addition. But you got all of the expertise of UCLA.
The doctors were absolutely amazing. They were able, as you can imagine, having been a product of the medical system for the previous, 5 years almost now, I had many questions going into this because I'd been seen by other professionals who I didn't think really met my standard of what I was looking for. And when I met with every UCLA doctor, they were able to answer the questions that I had in my mind before I could even ask them the question. They were just more than amazing. I mean, it's for me, having been around several different hospitals in the country and dealing with different specialties, it just blew me away.
And did you and Melanie meet? How'd you meet?
Yep, we'd been corresponding back and forth, getting everything set up before my initial visit back in February. And through email, phone conversations, whatever, just getting all my questions answered that I had about the program. And then when I was out in L.A. back in February, we finally did meet and been blown away by everybody that's involved with this program. I mean, they really, truly do care about, getting you rehabbed and back into as much of a normal situation as you can for your disability or your situation.
So. Well, now, let me go. I only get a small outline here, so I'm going to ask you some more questions. Feel free to say I don't want to discuss that or that was going on beforehand or something. You not only have done this, you got your college degree. You received your BA in international relations with a concentration on special operations and low-intensity conflict. I guess you were in a high-intensity conflict situation several times. and you're currently doing a master's degree. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about operationmend.ucla.edu.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And learning more today about Operation Mended, helps treat U.S. military personnel who were severely wounded during service in Iraq and Afghanistan. And again, back to Dr. Mike Roizen.
So, Brian, you went to Detroit, then you were at UCLA. And at the same time, you completed your undergraduate college degree, getting a BA in international relations with honors, special operations in low intensity. And now you're doing something else. Tell us what you're doing, and how did UCLA help you in getting this?
Well, currently I just finished my master's back in, was it February or March? I've been working on that for about 2 years in program management and contract management.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. And I've still got a couple years left on my GI Bill, so I might end up going back and getting another graduate degree. But we'll see what the future holds. Operation Mend has been instrumental in just getting me, you know, my physical stature back to where it was. You know, I'm not one who likes to really talk about myself, but I was in very, you know, good physical shape before the accident. And, you know, that's all part of your recovery. It's the whole spiritual, physical, and mental, you know, side of getting yourself right and back into that happy place where you want to be again. And the physical has definitely been lacking, but they're hooking me up with some amazing doctors out at UCLA that are putting it all back together. And as I say, fixing Humpty Dumpty piece by piece and getting me back to doing
well,
the things that I love.
I should say that you, even though you're paraplegic, you continue to advocate for veterans' health issues. You mentor other spinal cord injury patients, and you also run a defense contracting company that you started with two other service-disabled veterans.
Yep, that's correct.
So you're modest. Melody, how does someone contact, if someone knows someone who might have, what is UCLA like to specialize in for these people, and how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can just call our phone number, 310-267-2110.
Do it again. 310-267-3110 is what I heard.
No, 2110.
2110.
And we specialize in many different specialties. Our main focus started out with facial reconstruction for burn injuries from IED explosions. However, over the course of 6 years, we've spread our wings. So as you can see, Brian, his injuries are to his spine. He has orthopedic injuries, so we'll be doing shoulder surgery. Anything that's related to a combat or training injury that is considered specialty. So
and it's free. And
it's 100% free to the service member and their family. Brian's a tough guy. He likes to fly alone. But many of our patients have families. They have wives. They have children. They have mothers. They want to bring them along, and it's all free for the whole family.
I want to thank UCLA for doing it.
Absolutely. It's our honor.
That's wonderful. And again, to get in touch with you, they can go to the website operationmend.ucla.edu, or they can call the number 310. Go ahead, tell us the rest of it.
310-267-2110.
Thank you. Brian, anything else you want to say relating to this? What happened at UCLA, or how good they were for you?
Definitely. It's an amazing program, and they also try to not make it so much focused around your medical treatment in the hospital. They hook you up with a local buddy family that takes you out, whether it's sporting events or, you know, going to concerts or, you know, athletic events, whatever the case may be, just because L.A. has so much to offer in the local area there. Just to kind of take your mind off of whatever you're going through, whatever procedure, tests, or whatnot, and just to put you at ease, which is something I've never seen in any other type of healthcare setting before. So just amazing people that are absolutely going out of their way to make sure that you're taken care of and getting back into life the way you want to live it.
Now, UCLA's medical center is a huge place. So have you gotten to know more than one or two buildings?
Yes, I've actually been into Santa Monica and all over the Westwood campus there. So slowly, LA is becoming smaller and smaller to me.
That's great. Melanie, thank you very much. OperationMend.UCLA.edu. We're now going to do a Real Age Tip of the Week, and thank UCLA for all of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I can't say it enough. But anyway, this tip of the week is never have a colonoscopy, never want to, can't stand even the thought of the colonoscopy. Well, do this. Getting grown-ups to get a colonoscopy can be about as easy as getting kids to eat Brussels sprouts, Joe. Actually, adults may be willier at putting off a colonoscopy than kids are at sliding sprouts under the table. Barely half follow the screening procedures. Even more don't get any kind of a colon check ever. And that's why we lose some of them to colon cancer. But hopefully, if you're listening to this program, not you, of course, and hopefully your spouse and neighbor and best friend will get them too. And definitely not Dr. Oz or myself. Both of us, you docs, had our first colonoscopies at age 50, right on schedule, and both of us, it turned out, had some precancerous polyps, which were removed on the spot. That's one of the nifty things about these exams. Any polyps are usually zapped then and there. No second round needed. You probably know the rule of thumb. Get a colonoscopy every 10 years starting at age 50, earlier and more often if there's colon cancer in your family. But if you secretly don't have any intentions of doing this, do this. Just get one colon check between 55 and 64. And it doesn't have to be a colonoscopy. We've seen some convincing data that having one sigmoidoscopy, which uses a shorter scope and doesn't go up as far, Are you wincing already? Cuts your risk of colorectal cancers by almost as much as more frequent tests. And it's faster and less expensive. So, is it as good? No, not quite. Both Dr. Oz and I are both grateful we had colonoscopies. But it is good enough to seriously improve your odds of surviving without colon cancer much longer. Is that way better than nothing? Absolutely and positively. The real age benefit of patrolling your own health, 12 years younger. Joe?
Some of the best sleep you'll ever get for that short amount of time. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I don't sleep very well to begin with. Boy, when I get a colonoscopy, I look forward to it because, boy, do I sleep well there for about 20 minutes. It's such a great energy builder by the time you get out of there and you take your little rest for the rest of the day. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Mike Show here today. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. And be with us every week right here on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.